Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will strengthen you and bless you as you hear his word and you consider his goodness and grace. As part of our broadcast program, I know you've heard the announcement talk about the need for support in our program, and we're at a point in our ministry where we do need the financial support of our listeners. We do hope that you'll take the opportunity at some point to prayerfully consider how you can give to support Good News in the Morning. You can visit our website, goodnewschristianministries.ca, and you can find ways to support us there. As we look at the gospel message today and continue to rejoice in the celebration of Easter, I want to share with you a very short verse, and then I'll be sharing a number of other verses that illuminate it. This verse is just from 1 Timothy. It's Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. And he's reminding Timothy of what he has to preach, and he says this to him: "This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." That's a very simple phrase, isn't it? We have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. The theme that God is a living God is something that we really need to take some time to think about. Because often in our appreciation of the good news of the gospel, it's possible for people to think of it as something that happened a long time ago in the past that has made a great change and has enabled them to have eternal life, but they somehow or other don't experience or live as though Christ were living today in their lives, that they had a face-to-face encounter with the living God through Jesus Christ. And it's a sad thing, because God has not left us only his word, but he gave us his Holy Spirit to live in us, to work in us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to guide us, and to help us. So we are very fortunate that we have a living God who is going to keep us, a living God who is going to give us wisdom, a living God who's going to make his word come alive to us as we read the scriptures, a living God who is going to correct us when we're going wrong, a living God who's going to be faithful, who's going to continue to help us. He's not going to give up on us. He's a living God who still forgives sins, who still sees our heart, who still walks with us and lets us return to him freely and without rebuke, but with open arms and embrace. So let's take some time to think about what it means to be in a relationship with the living God. I'd like you to think about it as you listen to this song with me. The song is "Live This Mystery" by Michael Card from his album Present Reality. Let's listen to it and think about the presence of the living God in our lives.
When I consider the secret of the one who dwells in me, that there is truly a presence in the heart that will believe, to listen to a silent call, the quiet hunger to give it all, as the river seeks to be forgotten in the sea. So my soul is so thirsty, it longs for thee. Like a moth around the flame, drawn to the light and to the pain, since my life is hid in thee, I must live this mystery. Christ can live in you. I hear the silence is clamoring. There is only Christ, He is everything. In the language of the soul, it's burning like a coal. There's a voice that is saying, you can be. Timeless moments wait for you, with the heart alone you see, you must live this mystery.
Well now, throughout the Bible, people encounter the living God, not just as a set of words on a page, but as a voice that sometimes thunders from heaven and sometimes speaks softly, a presence that is seen in the consequences of pillars of cloud and fire, of a rumbling of the earth, of a presence that shine so brightly and with such glory that they believe it's going to destroy them. In Deuteronomy, the people are astonished that they have seen the living God, for they say in Deuteronomy chapter 5:26, what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived? There they are in the wilderness, and this mountain is shaking and trembling, like a volcano about to explode. There's smoke and there's fire, and God speaks to the people. He's been speaking to Moses, but he also, at this point, lets his voice be heard so that the people are confident and assured, but they're almost frightened out of their skins. Who else has ever encountered the living God? I mean, let's face it, in many religions, people go through rituals and all kinds of exercises, and they do it all hoping that God is listening. Even the Hebrew people in Egypt for all those years, they didn't have, as far as we know, prophets coming at that time. They didn't have religious experiences like the Holy Spirit descending on them. They just lived on the promises. They lived on the covenant that had been made with Abraham years before. And sometimes our Christian life is like that. It's doing what needs to be done, working on trust, working on faith, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to remember that God, while he calls us to faith, is also the God who spoke to Abraham. The one who stood before Abraham in the form of two angels or two men that visited him, and he talked to Abraham about his purposes, about his plans to bring judgment on the cities that were nearby. And at another time earlier, when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans and brought him into a new land, Abraham knew he was walking with a living God. Moses, although he was raised in an Egyptian household, was an Israelite, and he had had the care of his own mother as his wet nurse. He had knew something of the Hebrew religion, but he was mostly schooled in the ways of the Egyptians. But there he was, out in the land of his father-in-law, Jethro, and he was guarding sheep, shepherding sheep, when all of a sudden a bush burst into flame, and he noticed that the bush was burning, but it wasn't being consumed, and he went over to see what was going on, and he realized, as the voice spoke from the bush, that this was the living God speaking to him, telling him, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." And Moses got his commission from the living God. And throughout the life of the people of Israel, the appeal to the living God was there to ensure their success in the things God had told them to do, so that Joshua was able to say, "This is how you will know that the living God is among you. He will certainly drive out before you your enemies." And when trying to encourage the armies of Israel, David said David said to his brothers and the other men standing near him, when Goliath was challenging the people of Israel, he said, "What are you going to do about this guy? Who's going to remove this disgrace from Israel? Who is this person that he should defy the armies of the living God?" It's not surprising that David's brothers were a little bit upset with him for having such confidence in the face of Goliath's threat, for saying that the armies of the living God, that people who believed that God was true and vital and engaged in the world, that these people should not be shaking in their boots. David certainly wasn't. Coming into the hands of the living God can be terrifying. Isaiah had a vision when he went into the temple, and it was there he saw God before him with angels surrounding God, and he couldn't raise his eyes above God's knees. He couldn't look God in the face. He was so overwhelmed by the glory coming from the throne, by the brightness and the holiness, and there was a sense of awe and a sense of fear in his heart, because he was engaged with something so far beyond his mortal strength, so far beyond his understanding. He said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and I have seen the living God." He thought the living God, just the presence of the living God, would destroy him. But then an angel came from the throne of God and took a coal out of the censer that was burning incense and placed the coal against Isaiah's lips, and rather than burning him, the angel said, "Now you are clean." Isaiah was able to stand there in that vision because God had forgiven him his sins and God had cleansed him of all unrighteousness. This is an image of what Christ has done for you. Even though it can still be said, it must be terrifying to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible is full of hope for us that, in fact, the presence of the living God is not something to be avoided for those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, but is to be embraced as the power that will enable them to live their Christian life. This is such good news. Let's take a further look at it after we listen to another song about our great hope. This is an upbeat song from Jonathan McReynolds, and it tells about all that God has done for him, and he responds by saying, "Lord, you've got my love." Let's listen to it together.
Father, you pursued me, even when I walked away. You put me on this journey, and promised you would save. You took my dirty laundry and washed it white as snow. You took what they called ugly and called it beautiful. You caught my eye, you stole my heart. You got my love forever, for real, God. You caught my eye, you stole my heart.
Because God is living, because He's active in the world, we are able to rejoice in all that can be accomplished in our lives that goes beyond what is in our power to do. In fact, Jesus has said that we must abide in Him, for apart from Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible. Do you strive against sin and try to get yourself cleaned up? Try to become a better person? Well, good for you. But without the power of the living God, the striving is hopeless. But with the power of the living God, we can be assured that He is able to save us. In the letter of Hebrews, the words are written that even though the ancient sacrifices of the Israelites were able to, for a time, put off the judgment of God, the writer of Hebrews says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" Do you see what he's saying? That Christ, as the perfect sacrifice, has enabled us to have access to God, for God to work in our lives with the purity and holiness that he has, bring the power of resurrection to change us, to fix us, to deal with those habitual things that have always been beyond our grasp. They are well within the power of the living God. And so throughout the New Testament, this refrain of speaking about the living God says that things have changed immensely for us through Jesus Christ. And quoting from the Old Testament, Paul writes in the letter to Romans in chapter 9, verse 26, "This will happen in the very place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people.' Then they will be called sons of the living God." The transformation from people who were not belonging to God to people who are now not just part of God's household, but children, sons of the living God, sons and heirs, receiving from God all the blessings of his riches. This is what has changed through Christ. And I delight in the fact that the Word of God says that Jesus is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. You see, Jesus died for you, whether you believe it or not yet. He died for you, and he's offering salvation to you. He offers salvation to those who are wicked, to people who have done the worst possible sins. And he offers them the salvation of being dead to those sins, having those sins destroyed, and their legacy erased, and their harm restored, and to have a new life, a new heart that no longer wants to do those sins, but wants to show forth the glory and the love of God. But not only the desperately wicked, everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone has gone astray. People raised in church and who never had that rebellious teenage time, people who have lived pretty good lives and have tried to do right by their neighbor, they too have a call to give their lives to Christ. You see, because the good we can do on our own cannot compare to the good we can do in a relationship with Christ. And if we've been proudly doing our own thing and not doing the greater good that we could do through the power of the Holy Spirit, then we too have fallen short, and we have sinned grievously against God and against our fellow humanity. We need the power of God at work in our lives, and if we haven't had it to this point, we need to confess that we've been doing too much on our own, and let God become our Lord and our Savior. And to many people who don't even believe in God, well, that's what you think now. It is our prayer and our hope that the living God will continue to work on you, will continue to come after you. C.S. Lewis called the Holy Spirit in his life the Hound of Heaven, when as an atheist at first and slowly becoming agnostic and eventually imperceptibly, as he considered the claims of Christ, he eventually became a Christian. He wouldn't have thought of that for himself before that started, but there he was. You see, you are in the hands of the living God, whether you know it or not, and he's at work to bring about salvation, to bring about holiness, to bring about purity, to let everything in your life that is destructive and out of place, everything that detracts from the glory of your creation in the image of God, all those things will be washed away, and you will be restored to the strength and the purpose and the love for which God originally intended you. All this through Christ who died, but not only because he died, but also because he now lives. The living God is ready to accept you when you're ready to receive him. He's already loved you. He only asks that you would turn to him and let him remake you in the glory for which you were created. You can do this through prayer today. You can also, if you have further questions, check with us on our website and ask your questions and look for the resources that we have available there. Please also find yourself a church. Find yourself a good Christian that is able to answer some of your questions and someone with patience. I will point out that not all of us have gotten to any great degree of perfection yet in our patience and our gentleness, so please be patient with us too as we try to help you understand what we believe. But do make the effort to let the living God into your life through Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Him in prayer. Almighty God, I give you thanks for Jesus' love for us, for your love for us, that you went to the cross, that you suffered and died there because, according to your wisdom and your full knowledge of all things, you knew that this was the only way to bring us back to yourselves. So I thank you that He has taken all of our sins on the cross and that there they have been destroyed. They died with Him on the cross. I give you thanks, of course, that you raised Him who did so much for us, that you glorified Him who loves us, that you have shown your favor towards Him and your continuing favor towards us, that you have raised our Lord and our Savior to new life, and that He now sits at your right hand interceding for us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us to give us your living power to live in you now and forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please, as the announcer signs us off, make sure you listen to This Hope as they sing Fairest Lord Jesus and sing the praise of Him who has saved us. Have a good day. God bless you.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature,
thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
This is Tony Koppel speaking. I am the previous chairperson of Good News Christian Ministries. Because our income has fallen below our expenses, we are unable to continue broadcasting on conventional radio with CFRA. We know that we have many listeners for whom this will be sad news. If you found this webpage, you will see the final program that was produced by CFRA. However, we don't intend to disappear completely. We have a wealth of programs available on this website as podcasts, and they can keep your heart and your soul in good order for a long time. In addition to that, I have been broadcasting archived programs going back as far as 2001 every Thursday, and have now reached 2007. All of them have featured Dr. Alan Churchill. If you want to know more about those programs, they are broadcast only on the internet, so you can pick them up worldwide. And if you wish to discover how to tune in, go to coppleswesterncape.ca, coppleswesterncape.ca. Click on Listen and click on CWCP Radio. We wish all of our faithful listeners everything good that God has to offer, and we thank you for listening to this program for so long. This website will remain in commission for the foreseeable future, and if we have other announcements to make, you will find them here. At any time, you can send feedback or comments to us via the comments page on this website. God bless you all.